everybody. Welcome back to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody. I'm here with...
Paulie Presenta, known as the Moo Cow. Moo!
We're also with...
I'm Gaz Morgan.
Just Chen.
Lenore.
And Kim Dimitriades.
Woohoo!
All right, well, I'm going to let Paul talk about this project because it's his.
Hey, everybody. So, today is our final podcast of season two. And so, with that in mind, I decided to pull out all the stops and bring in a very special movie from a very special director and writer, someone that we know very well from last season, the only 30 in season one's history. And this is a movie from the one and only Neil Breen.
Hi, this is Neil Breen.
Hey, of course. And this one is called Twisted Pair.
And I'm here to tell you about my new feature film, Twisted Pair.
This is hurt already.
Yes, well, keep that in mind, because there's pain to come.
All right, but before that, let's start some...
Mood music! Okay, everybody, we are back. So, Neil Breen, guys.
I'm very excited about it.
Neil Breen.
I hate you, Lenore.
Twisted Pair. All right.
I don't know what that was about.
I have no idea.
Justice for Humanity.
Wow.
Nobody knows.
I am aghast. I'm not really sure what to say. First of all, I have no idea what happened.
I do. I can't get the 2 hours of my life back.
You gotta get closer to the...
I cannot get those 2 hours of my life back. It was not for fine.
It was only an hour and a half, though. So
it seemed like 2 days.
Yeah, how long was it?
Because it was an hour and a half.
It was an hour and 28 minutes.
It was the most 3 hour. It was hour and a half.
It's one of those movies that just distorts time, and you think it's a whole lot longer. It's like, God, did 6 hours go by? No, just an hour and a half, because we're not grounded in reality. We have no idea who these people are, where they're doing this, or what's going on.
Well, we were right that it obviously was filmed in some sort of
community college.
Yeah.
And it started over like 3 times.
Oh, you missed the ending where it started again.
Thank God.
He was back with his little eagle buddy.
If you left in the first 5 minutes, you saw the whole film.
Yeah, pretty
exactly.
much.
Exactly. If the eagle had eaten him in the beginning.
Astro Eagle?
Yes.
He glides.
Oh, yeah,
it was
Eagle
amazing.
Had a name.
So what did you think, Jen?
That was horrible. That was so horrible.
Worse than Twist and Fateful Findings?
Yeah.
Just so
I
people...
I think the other one actually had something of a plot-ish, maybe?
Sort of.
Roundabout, the hint of it, this didn't.
Maybe,
just
I
so
guess.
People can have a picture of what we all look like right now. Have you ever lost a loved one after sitting at a hospital for a really long length of time? That's what we look like. The relatives that had been sitting at a hospital for 27 hours only to hear bad news.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that film
Neil was. Breen would be the bad news.
For not one, but two people. They made not one universe, but two universes
full of, bad
of this storyline.
There were so many bad mustaches and beards, I lost count. They were amazing.
It was a piece of tape. With hair attached to it, acrylic shiny hair, and then they took the tape and stuck it where a mustache would go.
I don't even know that there were bristles. I think somebody took a Sharpie and just drew them on there.
Okay, everybody. Okay, we're getting a little sidetracked into the actual stuff. So before we get into the special effects,
there's no plot to discuss.
Until we get to the special effects, let's talk about the story.
Oh, my God.
No
I volunteer. Okay, wait. Not Lenore it. Always seems to grasp this sort
they
of thing better.
They were named after produce. Kale
and they were fighting the coos.
No. Kale and Kay.
Lenore can do this. Come on, Lenore.
All right, come on.
Okay, so I'm not clear if they were humans or aliens, but they looked human.
Did like aliens.
That's also true. They did act like aliens.
Right.
So apparently they were twin brothers who did everything together until they were both chosen by the Force, which I'm now realizing is a ripoff of Star Wars, to become more humanoid, even though they were already humanoid. Well,
they're more human than human now.
Somehow.
Like Rob Zombie.
Right.
Okay.
And they were sent on missions to purge the evil from humanity, but the twin named Kale began failing in his missions, was stripped of his powers, and I think he's a drug dealer?
Or he was selling programmable matter or something?
He was selling acid because everyone in that film was on acid.
It was programmable acid.
But he also kidnaps CEOs and tortures them in weird scenes that don't sound like torture at all.
Yeah, they sounded a little erotic.
I assumed it was Russian.
And every now and then, like, you'd get double or triple vision and there'd suddenly be, like, three times the number of people. But it was the same people.
It was like driving home from a party at 3 in the
right.
morning.
Right, but it's similar to the Breen. We were doubling up on our Breen quotient.
I guess that's true.
Unrealistic fight scenes with a Ukrainian hooker.
Ukrainian hooker.
Aww.
And then Cade, the one who kept his powers, got assigned a mission regarding programmable virtual reality and programmable matter, I think.
Programmable matter. Now, you're a science person. I know, but she knows a lot about science, period.
Science!
You know, right?
Because science is one thing.
Tell us a little bit about programmable matter.
Yes, blind us with your science.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure programmable matter will never exist. But if you were very, very far down the rabbit hole of everything and drugs, you could maybe stumble across the idea of, I don't know, like...
But is a 3D printer programmable matter?
No. It's just melting it and reforming it.
But you're programming matter, are you not?
Oh.
Yeah, but you're not programming it at the DNA level. You're simply...
Well, no, but...
Matter doesn't necessarily have DNA.
Programmable matter, just like programmable virtual reality, because I can't imagine virtual reality that is not
programmed. I'm assuming, though, the way he's getting at it is programmed like you're writing code, like for a program. I don't think you can do that.
Giving it way too much.
We're all giving this movie way too much credit just by talking about it.
The movie was a urinal puck in the urinal of my life.
Yes.
As for programmable matter, you could argue that you can program, like, information, you could argue, is a form of energy. There's this theory about black holes having energy written on the inside, so they're never in the same state twice. Mm-hmm. Anytime they absorb matter in the form of energy, they gain information about it, and so it's always changed. But that's there's a lot of math there that I don't fully understand.
So wait, in the movie or in
we
like...
We didn't understand the film, so that makes perfect sense.
That's a little
more
esoteric than what
it.
The film actually was doing. I think his idea of programmable matter is being able to write code for actual things to make them do things that you want them to do.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't know anything.
No.
But if you can store information in the form of radiation, like black holes are sometimes theorized to do, in theory you could turn the information and radiation back into matter through energy to mass conversions.
I'd like to turn this movie into different matter.
Yeah.
Preferably ash.
So then what happens?
Oh, right. I was going over the plot.
Such as it is.
He blows up what's supposed to be a lab, but isn't. There's a lot of green screens.
Oh, my God.
A lot of fights that aren't fights.
And why does he walk like that?
I don't know.
This butt plug theory.
He walks like a man that has
blisters
covering the bottom of his feet.
He walks like a duck that's been transformed into a human.
Programmed.
Yeah. Programmed duck.
The reason. He's Howard the Duck.
He is Howard the Duck.
To be honest, I lost track of the plot after he got assigned the mission. I'm not sure why he was blowing anything up.
Anything. Got nothing.
I don't know who the people in gas masks were.
There were evil people named Coos, and they were doing something to take over the world. And
well, there's nothing more.
I think it was a salute to Doctor Who. That's all I can figure.
I got no idea.
There is a game called Watch Dogs that seemed vaguely familiar. But Watch Dogs is realistic.
Unlike this movie?
Yeah.
You're saying this wasn't realistic?
Yeah.
I buy the evil coos.
I mean, that's believable. when he is suddenly appears, you know, three levels above, and not only does he appear up there, but he's sitting on the rail.
Yeah, all I could think during that scene is, that must have been painful.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Did it like 5 or 6 times. It was amazing.
Amazing so, might be a stretch.
I was amazed.
Oh, and there's that one guy who has a bowl of diamonds that he keeps groping.
Except they were clearly not diamonds.
You have not had a
bowl of
diamonds.
I don't think those were his diamonds. They're aliens, right?
I think it might have been meth.
Yeah, it could have been.
I think it was
body
meth.
Body parts.
Yeah. The plot just falls apart.
Yeah, these weren't even, these didn't even look like diamonds. These were like big, ugly, gaudy pieces of glass.
A Dungeons and Dragons dice.
Right,
bowl.
Just giant and clunky, ridiculous nonsense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that guy was. And then did he suddenly get older?
I don't know.
Looked like an old queen and then went back to being a younger queen?
I think he was participating in an Elton John lookalike contest.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening.
And there was something going on with this, woman that we couldn't figure out if it was his wife or his sister or his
mom
or his girlfriend.
It was definitely not his mom because they mentioned the mom. Like, did you call your mom lately? So we can't tell if it was, you know, her mom or his mom or their mom.
Somebody's mom.
But it was weird because you have to explain that. Tell them about the interaction between him and her when they first met and the homeless guy.
The homeless guy with the rats.
The rats.
The plastic rats.
Happened there?
And the weird cat
we
statues.
Honestly, all of us just honestly thought that he literally just bumped into somebody not associated with the movie, just in the street, and that was her genuine reaction.
And accosted her.
Yeah. And then the next scene, he breaks into her house and rustles her, and it looks like it's going to be a rape scene, and then it's not. But a picture gets broken over his head.
No glass. But there's glass breaking sound effects.
And then I guess they were actually married, and I don't know why they did that.
Because they wanted to fool the audience.
It was some kinky crap going on with them. That's all I can figure. Between the two of them, they're married, and it was some whacked out thing they do.
Why did you draw an angry face on a spoon?
This is my movie hating spoon. I hate this movie so much
that
I had to create a character to hate it more with me.
So what about the weird homeless guy and the rats?
The fake squeaky rats?
Yeah,
they were
dog toys. We'll be back in at 8 o'clock.
And you know, they would be looking in one direction and then the next scene they'd be looking in another direction. And then another scene they were surrounded by like crumbs from Pop Tarts.
You gotta clean it yourself.
Oh my god.
It was so weird. And then What about the little cat statues? Don't forget them.
Oh, they were
liked that.
They were the best part of the movie.
We all agreed that they were the best characters in the movie.
I don't get it, but it was
interesting.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'd look all the way together. Sometimes one would look towards us and two others would look away. And
we thought they were on like magnets or something, you know?
They were profound.
Around.
And then there was Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell would appear and every
the
now
stripper.
And again.
Yeah.
I don't know
whore.
What's going on with this movie. I really don't.
It's listed in the credits as the Muse.
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah.
Muse.
I was amused by the film. I can tell you that.
You're the only one.
I may have to review this on my own show.
There you go.
It is so bizarre.
It does fit your show.
Disjointed and bizarro.
But that does mean you have to watch it again.
That'll never happen.
You'll just listen to this
podcast.
I'll
send you a copy. I'll put it on your Plex. I'll make sure you get it.
I'll put it with Jen's t-shirt.
There you go.
Right in the garbage.
The Neil Breen t-shirt?
Wait, you paid
some serious money for this movie. You're going to let him have it for free?
I do this for my friends.
It's the love he provides.
It's the love.
Pass it on.
I'm all for, like, all right, this was a really poorly made film, but they tried. This guy was trying, but no one knows for what.
There's no point to it.
This is like when you have a really horrible, squeaky toy. And you hate somebody and you give it to them.
Yeah.
No, you give it to the kid. Like those, what are they called? Yellies?
Those... Oh, those chicken things?
No, the spider robots that move faster the more you yell.
You yell.
Okay.
Fine.
You're cut off. No more drinking for you.
There you go, Lenore. I knew it was getting bad when she broke
there
out the
cord. I think Neil Breen affected her.
I know.
I think it crossed her wires
there.
She probably
just had a stroke, I think.
A little
see what the movie did to her?
I know. This movie just attacked her.
I hope you're satisfied, Neil Breen. She was an up-and-coming fine scientist and woman. And now
Neil Breen has ruined so many humans.
I know.
Humanoids, too.
Poor Jen had to watch the second Neil Breen movie.
Oh, she's crusty by now. She can take it. She's got armor.
It's only been a year, Paul. It's only been a year.
Damage took place. This could end Jen's career of bad movies.
Yeah, Jen's never gonna trust you again. You know,
I
when you
trust him from the beginning.
Oh, true.
This movie
actually
was
you
the
did the first the beginning.
Of Le Mans.
You did trust him, and then you learned your lesson after that.
But comparatively speaking, this was definitely worse.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I absolutely could not find a plot or I had no idea what was going on. I mean, I didn't have much of an idea with the other one, but. It almost had a story.
Almost.
This had no redeeming factor.
Yeah, this.
None.
This is like. This is like somebody had a dream, and tried to tell you, and had no idea how to tell you, and just kind of rambled, incoherently for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
This is definitely mall
detail
without
giving you any frame of reference for anything. You know. I mean. Mm-hmm. In a way, it's worse than Axiom Maximus, because in Axiom Maximus, you couldn't understand what was going on, but that was largely because you couldn't understand what they were saying, and you couldn't see half the time. In this film, you could see everything, and you could understand everything they were saying. It just didn't make any sense. Zero.
It spoke slow enough for you to get every single word.
Syllable.
Yeah, he what?
No, I was going to put it on, turn the sound down, put on Dark Side of the Moon.
It'll make sense.
Do some heroin.
Smoke a bowl.
And this will be the greatest movie you've ever seen.
Probably.
Could very well be.
If you watch it backwards.
Right. You have to sit there and just rewind
and
slowly.
And upside down.
Yes.
Yes.
And turning.
Yes.
Given me.
And don't watch it at all.
And spank a penguin while you're watching it, because that'll help.
Yeah.
Where would they get the penguin?
I don't know. Wherever whatever country
Antarctica.
This movie was filmed in.
It was big in Antarctica.
It was filmed in Nevada.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the story, who knows where that took place. The Community College of Our Nightmares. My goodness. So, okay, I guess we could talk a little bit about the characters.
There were characters?
Yeah. There were characters, but we didn't know what they were.
There was Neil Breen, and then the people Neil Breen paid to kiss him.
Yes. And the people Neil Breen paid to film
blackmail
him.
Heavily.
I'd like to start with the three moaning, uncomfortable...
Oh, the CEOs?
The CEOs that just...
We're chained.
So they're chained very loosely with this really cheap chain just draped over them. And they just stand against a blood-spattered wall going, oh.
Where were their hands?
Oh. Cupping their man things and making really uncomfortable moaning sounds that I only assume is supposed to be suffering. Which it caused in me.
We were suffering watching it.
Yeah. I've never heard those sounds made with such low amounts of entertainment.
And it happened how often?
Oh,
too often.
Every 16 slides.
Yeah, it was pretty much over and over and over. And he'd be like, now you're going to suffer. Oh. Now you're going to die. And they didn't really do either one.
Oh.
And he would pretend to shoot them, and there'd be like a little CGI gun going
flash
off.
Flash of the muzzle.
Right.
Yeah.
But no blood at all. It was the most bloodless movie.
They didn't even stop to sharpie
the walls,
a...
not the people.
Face. Yes, the raspberry sauce.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's
awful. So there was those three worthless chodes. Neil Breen himself plays the double role, plays Cade the good boy and Kale the evil boy. And you know one of them's going to be evil because we're shown as babies and one of them couldn't eat a freaking hot dog. He was like stabbing himself in the brain with this plastic fork with a piece of hot dog at the end of it.
Also,
finally,
yeah,
he gets it in his mouth.
One of them had a beard.
Yes, so that was one of where the bad fake beards were. He was the bad one because, you know, evil people have beards and mustaches.
Yeah, he was the mirror. Okay, no, that's not. It was the...
Right, right. It's the Star Trek thing, the mirror, mirror universe. You have the good Kirk without the beard and mustache and the evil Kirk with the beard and mustache. And, of course... Yeah, well, there was all of them. And, so... And there was a mirror scene. There was the thing with the mirror breaking.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
I don't understand because nothing really came of it, but I expected, like, evil Cade Breen to come out, and he never did.
Yeah, he just stood there.
He just stood there.
It was awkward. It was weird because, like, he was, like, staring at his brother or whatever through the mirror, and he walked away, and then the brother just kind of just stood there.
I miss what I've never known.
That line got repeated so often.
It doesn't even make sense. How could you miss something you've never known? I don't know. But anyway, so there are those two. So Cade is sort of fighting for good. He's using his powers that the Force gave him. And I guess Cade is using them for evil, or he's using his own powers for evil, or something.
I thought he didn't have
powers. I don't know. He had something.
Kale.
Kale didn't have power.
He had a leafy green vegetable is what he had.
He had the power of salad.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he had a salad shooter.
But Cade was the one who had all the powers to jump through stuff, and I mean...
Oh, I love the part where he was green screening himself into the battle scenes.
Oh my God.
And he'd be like, because he's not even saying anything. All of this stuff, all the dialogue is heard. It's all voiced over. It's all edited in later. He's like, follow me, guys. I will protect you. Come this way. I have all the powers.
And then at one point he looks over and he was like, I will lead the way.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my God. He's talking like he's on Thorazine or something. It's just so weird.
This movie was on Thorazine.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We should have been on
Thorazine. We might have been.
Does anybody have any Thorazine?
This movie might have been just like electronic Thorazine.
Wow. Do you have to have a prescription to watch this movie?
Maybe.
I'd like to smoke the medical grade of this film.
That might be dangerous, my friend.
I'm willing to try.
My goodness. Okay, so then there is this chick that he paid to have hit to kiss, and that was the one with the fake rape scene.
The Ukrainian hooker.
I think the Ukrainian hooker was the other one, right?
That was her.
That were all Ukrainian hookers.
They were all Ukrainian hookers. They were missing the back thing that you were talking about. What was that?
A paunch.
Spanx. She needed Spanx.
Spanx. Spanx. Well, there may have been some spanking going on. I don't think I want to know about
it. Neil Breen should be spanked for making this film.
Early and often.
Yes.
All right, anyway.
I guess she ends up double-crossing him?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't understand. I don't know.
Maybe?
Because they alluded to that?
She was going to shoot him, and she just kind of stood there and waited.
Said it was just business.
Yeah, but she like waited and waited and waited for him to like slowly reach for his gun. Slowly pull it out, turn around, raise it up, and then he's like, they end up shooting each other, but of course, he's Neil Breen, so it doesn't hurt him.
But didn't they do something similar to that in the Fateful Findings? Like, I have this feeling like that's a scene, like, that's a similar kind of scene.
Well, in Fateful Findings, his friend gets shot, and then he spends the next 10 minutes I can't believe you committed suicide. I can't believe
you committed suicide.
I can't believe you committed suicide. I can't believe... That's where our phrase breening comes from, when you repeat the same lines over and over and over and over.
So don't do that. We have some actors in the room here, and don't ever breen. If somebody tells you to breen, tell them no.
No, breening hurts your brain.
Yes.
But he didn't really breen in this.
Missing one he never had.
Well,
But he didn't repeat it twice in a row.
Or three times in a row.
He just kept repeating it through the movie.
I guess that counts.
It's a semi-breen.
It's a semi-breen.
Plus, there was definitely footage that got used over and over and over too.
Oh my God!
So,
yes.
He was breening through film.
Yes.
But anyway, then there were always these four like guys, and they were in different forms of dress. Sometimes they were in black with like gas masks and guns with plastic tips, and other times they were just sitting there in like suits with glasses on, and then other times
same guys?
Other times they had these virtual reality goggles on there.
Oh, that I didn't realize all these people were the same people.
I'm pretty sure they were the same ones over and over and over.
Same actors.
I just don't understand what they were supposed to represent. You know, they were like doing evil things, whatever that meant.
Yes.
In fact, we didn't really have any idea exactly what Coos is. Idea of evilness was.
Who was Coos?
I guess they're a game developer.
I don't know.
Like, because there was like two different guys that were, I guess, the bad guys, right? There was the guy that had the fairy, you know, that clutched the diamonds. I don't know who that guy was.
That was Coos.
Was that Coos?
Yes.
No.
Okay, because he talked like
he talked like Axiom Maximus.
Yes, exactly. Like, that's what I was thinking when I heard it, is like whatever computer program they used. They used it for both movies.
Wow. Was he the Grand Coos?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was the Grand Coos.
And then it was his brother, the evil Kale. And there was a bunch of other people.
There was another guy, too.
Girl, too. Kale's girlfriend.
Oh, the blonde?
Yeah.
What was her name? Romaine?
Could be.
Are you saying, like, lettuce?
Yeah.
Romaines of the day.
Romaines of the day.
Yeah, it was very strange. I don't know. After a while, you just start to lose track. And then there was one of these guys.
After a while.
The guy's like...
After the first credits.
One of the guys, and I don't know where he came from, but all of a sudden, Breen starts to shame him and says, "You betrayed us! You betrayed us! You betrayed us!"
That was the first critic.
So he did Breen.
He did Breen. He Breened a little bit.
Yeah.
I just don't know who that was, or what was going on, or where we were, or who any of those people were, or what the devil was going on.
At any point, anywhere in this
film.
Right,
because... I said, like, that guy literally looked like somebody that was just walking down the campus, and he just stopped them and goes, "You betrayed us!"
Right,
and the guy was like, what? You know, like, what is going on here? Oh, no. I didn't know I was being filmed.
Please tell me this is a movie. Yep. Just take my money.
It's like that scene in Vampire's Kiss.
Right.
You know, where...
There's a lot of people I wonder that about.
It's just like that scene in Vampire's Kiss where where he's like running around the streets.
I'm a vampire. I'm a vampire. I'm a Breen pyre. I'm a Breen pyre.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
oh, this
very,
is bad.
Very, very, very strange. I don't know. There's probably a few more characters in there, but to
None
be honest, it doesn't matter. Yeah, there's no way to differentiate them. They don't act like human beings at all. Neil Breen doesn't walk like a human being.
They
don't understand. Stand that.
They're humanoids. Come on now.
I guess. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Wasn't that a movie, Humanoids from the Deep?
Yes, that was a genius movie compared to this.
I'm just saying, I don't know what a humanoid is.
Lenore, can you explain to us what a humanoid means?
No, not really. Unless he's trying to claim that he's like...
They have to have the shape.
Like
right.
He's above
basis
being...
of humanoid...
Arms, legs, and
the appearance of a human.
Right. They have
to
be at least vaguely upright walking and four limbs and bipedal and
does explain his really awkward walk. You know,
because he clearly seemed to have no idea how
nothing
to walk.
Nothing but hemorrhoid surgery could explain that.
You know, it's as bad as Rod in Birdemic as far as his walking. Remember, I said Rod was a puppet and he came to life and he had no idea how to be a human. That's how Neil Breen was in this film. He wasn't quite so wooden and robotic in the first film, but he was in this film. It was just very strange. I don't understand his choices there. You know, I mean,
he didn't make any choices.
He's always trying to make himself better than the normal person. That's always the plot. That's always the germ of every film. Every film is the same from Neil Breen. I am better than regular human beings, and here's why. You know, so. This is just him doing it twice because he had to have two Neil Breens there.
So this is just self-indulgent claptrap like Zed.
Yes, exactly.
Well, yes, except that actually, strangely enough, this actually looked better than an Zed movie.
That is true.
You know, I mean...
But it's self-indulgent claptrap.
There are, like, and I guess we could segue into this. There are some interesting visuals with this. None of it makes any sense, but there's a lot of, like video game stuff going on here, and a lot of really bad green screen stuff going on. That's
I heard
just
Kevin Smith is
going to
remake this.
That would be interesting.
At gunpoint?
So, Jonathan, what did you think about the visuals and the green screens?
I just thought it was awkward as hell because, like, most of the time you actually see the green screens or whatever. You know it's a green screen.
Oh, it's
like,
completely obvious and contrived.
And then, like, they'll have parts where they'll stop, I guess, the movie that is playing around where, you know, like the stock footage or whatever he's got. So the guys that are running, you know, or whatever will stop. You'll be, stop! And then they'll, like, it'll pause, right. You know, and you can kind of tell it's paused. And he's, like, walking through them. And then, you know, like, it's just so weird.
Well, it's funny because sometimes the movie would skip, and we couldn't tell if that was the movie skipping or if that was the movie being itself.
A little part of me would die every time it started replaying again, though.
I know.
It was funny.
Part of me actually died.
We saw you running off screaming in terror.
I know. Kim couldn't get away from this movie fast enough.
Oh, my
God.
Kim's first movie with us, and we broke her already.
No one should have that.
Oh, you're a fragile snowflake.
I need a support group after this.
Yeah, that's accurate.
This was a rough one to come in.
Paul's going to ask her to come back, and now Kim's just like, no.
Yeah, I got a thing.
Well, think about it this way. It can't get much worse than this, can it?
That's what I said with Nick Zed.
It's better now. Nothing on the screen.
Yeah. I want to take this out of there and throw it out a window.
Hide your.
Please, you saw it at the end.
Please tell your audience what you paid for this
coaster.
It was like
24, 25 bucks, something like that.
It is a coaster.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And at the end it says he'll be back. He'll be back.
That is a threat to all that is decent in the world.
Neil Breen, make that movie. I will buy it.
Oh my goodness.
That he'll sell one.
Now, Lenore, you had actually said earlier about the video game aspect of it, you know, right? You noticed it was kind of like a video game. What are your thoughts on that?
So there's these few shots that took place in it was like a lilac forest. Like it was a forest entirely purple.
Or yeah, lavender or something.
And honestly,
after post-production.
That was a really well-made, it's not a shot, it obviously wasn't real, a computer rendering, real. I guess? I mean, it looked nice, it would have been a good setting for a video game.
Or for an elf dream.
Or that.
Lothlorien.
Or tentacle porn.
An acid trip, right?
Tentacle porn.
Tentacle porn.
There's a video game called Ori and the Blind Forest, it reminded me of that.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe he watched, he was playing a video game, and he said, I can make a movie just like this video game.
That would explain all
the... I think his editor had something to do with that. I think that was the influence there, not him.
Well, he's one of the editors, so...
Yeah. Because he, like, if you watch the credits again, it actually has almost every aspect done by Neil Breen. Okay. He even says at the end of the movie, anything with an N and a B by it is Neil Breen, you know... Right.
An N or a B in it.
Yeah, right. N or B.
So there was like NNB Company and NNB Enterprises and just...
Yeah.
It was Neil Breen mostly, although he had more help this time. There were a few other people helping him.
That is astonishing.
He had a camera guy, a camera operator that just moved it slightly when he moved.
Right.
Like, it was literally, like, that's all he asked him to do is
it was
make
like
sure...
A 45-second shot of him just kind of walking slowly away, and it's for no reason.
I don't think you need to say slowly. That's sort of assumed.
Yeah, well.
This was the Pickett's charge.
It's very difficult to walk with a butt plug in your rear end. You know?
If you have the choice of watching this film or maybe hands transcribing a Chinese restaurant menu into ancient Greek, please do the menu.
Okay, I'd actually be a little interested in the menu one.
Yeah, that could be fun. That could be interesting.
Do we get free food after?
Special effects?
No, but you do get to learn
what,
ancient Greek.
What did you guys think of the special effects? How special were they?
They were special.
They were special, all right.
They were, I don't know how to put that in a way that's okay for your podcast.
Do it, put it. We don't care.
Yeah.
No holding back on a Neil Breen movie. This dude
remember
won't even
that show. Life Goes On.
Yes.
Yes.
It was the brother special.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm. It was that kind of special.
Well, between the green,
it was functioning.
The extraordinarily fake explosions, the extraordinarily fake gunfire, muzzle flashes, the extraordinarily fake jumping.
an excessive sound.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Awful lot. It was like popcorn.
They would have these flashing lights like there were police cars nearby, but it was obviously stage lighting with right. like red, yellow, orange. So I don't know whether it was a police vehicle and a tow truck, or I'm pretty sure it's just some sort of
lighting.
Dance lighting.
That was
yeah.
post-production. That wasn't even
you think it was
like
in post-production?
DJ lighting.
Oh,
that was
God. I thought
not,
it was DJ
no,
lighting.
No, honey. Oh,
no.
I tell you what, though. When the Ukrainian
give it something.
Hooker slapped him, it sounded like a baby seal being slapped against the wall. It was really
oh,
bad.
Well, what do you think they do for fun in the Ukraine?
On the floor.
Right.
But what about the time he slapped her and
like
then
nothing.
There's
no
sound?
Sound.
Right. Well.
But then
he slapped her again. There was a sound.
That was horrible.
Yeah, it didn't come
flinched.
Even close to
right,
that.
Right, right.
I have never laughed at domestic violence, but that was funny.
And then she fell off the bed.
Yeah, on her head.
The junkie girlfriend of what was his name? Spring Mix. Kale. they just kept going into these Courtney and Kurt Cobain
have these arguments.
Argument matches over drugs. Like in one scene they'll be laying out lines of what I assume is coke or Neil Breen's Hopes and Dreams.
Pixie
diced out, diced up confectionery sugar or cornstarch. And then another scene, they'll have needles or a whole bunch of bottles laying around. They couldn't even come up with a hit song.
Well, you know
who knows
what?
Heroin. It doesn't come up with a hit song.
one of my favorite bits at the end of the movie is what's his name? Cade comes up to the girl and they're talking. She thinks it's him or something. They start yelling at each other, and then he goes, it's like you're talking about my brother, and he's like, I was like, oh, I used to date your brother, and he goes. Did he hurt you? She was like, oh yeah, but I hurt him too. Like they were like proud
oh, yeah.
of like,
she was,
all that
she's
stuff.
Like, where's your beard? You used to have a beard. I didn't have a beard. I never grew a beard.
Okay. We know
it was like two speaking spells arguing with each other.
This is so weird.
It was so bad.
Oh my
I
god!
I never had a beard. It's just so strange.
There's literally nothing redeeming about this at all. If
nope.
you could find some like 1970s Asian snuff film, watch it with the whole family.
Well,
it's better than this
film.
Well,
I will disagree on this one point. There was lots of entertainment for me seeing all of you guys in pain and suffering that this film gave you. It was so
Tonight
much fun.
Convinced me that I died back in 1997 and my hell is coming here and watching these films.
Yay!
Then we're all in the same hell boat with you.
There you
well,
go.
It's not a terrible boat except
for
tonight.
Change the name of the show. We died and went to hell.
That's right.
And we can prove it.
Hellboat Films.
Hellboat Films.
Abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
It would be a better movie than anything Neil Breen would do.
Yes.
Hey, it's got like a 6.5 on the Internet Movie Database. It
He's
really does.
Blackmailing
out of what
people that are rating
out of 10.
The film.
What?
I yes.
And 10 being good.
Yes.
And our
how many people did he
people.
Make send
mm-hmm.
in? That is
no.
astonishing.
It's just there's a giant group of people like me who absolutely love incredibly terrible films like this.
There's
there,
nothing
there
to love about this.
There are people in the world.
There's nothing to love about that.
I thought
that
the reviews
like...
were sarcastic.
Yeah,
what?
I think,
are
I think
they?
A lot of it is sarcastic.
Well,
too.
I think a lot of the people love
so.
Hating this movie. Like, they love watching this movie.
I am passionate
to...
about hating this film now. That's
but
why I had
I think,
the
like,
film Hating Spoon.
They're just
go.
Like Paul. They love watching this crap, you know?
It is
and...
crap.
It is wonderful.
This is probably why Neil Breen won't hang out with us, though.
I know,
because he's
know.
Listening to our podcasts. And
he
stuff.
Is.
It might have been when I called him an upside-down toilet brush.
Well, the thing is that, he controls all the images and all the sounds and everything, and I don't know. I'm not going to be able to put up images or anything about this film.
Oh, you can't, can you?
No, I don't think so.
You can't actually put up you can't do
the
any
poster.
Of the... well, you could do the poster, I think, right? Can
I would draw it with
guess
crayons.
So, yeah.
Poster?
Yeah.
It might be a better image.
I could probably do the poster,
the
and I could probably do
you
the,
can use the, spoon.
The trailer. But that's about it.
You should just use I Hate This Movie
and,
spoon.
You know, maybe somebody put some sound bits up there on YouTube. I might be able to find that, but there's not going to be much up there.
If
because,
you use the clubbing of the baby seal, it'll match.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true. But he went out and bought all the versions of his other movies that were out there, like on Amazon and everywhere else. And he bought them back himself because he didn't want anybody else to have them because he wanted control of them. And he didn't want anybody else talking about them or having bad reviews of them. So
is it like
paranoid, are we?
Hey, we found one. It
is
sucks.
Is that paranoia or is he trying to artificially control the supply chain?
I think a little bit of both.
You're a terrible director. You're a terrible human being. And this was a horrible film.
But you make great movies.
But he's not a human being. He's a humanoid. That's we all know this.
He started as a humanoid. He's just
he is better than us.
Bad taste.
We're all just jealous of his talent.
I did like his theater.
Yes.
But not his your home hair. Theater.
No.
Yeah, Neil, we do got to have a talk about your hair, buddy.
Your hair looks like a merkin.
Yeah, at this point, you need to cut it and just kind of go
with slowly shriveling plum.
You do. We also have to teach you how to walk like a human. It's okay.
Right.
Walk like a man. And no more shirtless scenes. That is verboten. You know, we all get to the point where we can't take our shirt off anymore in public, and you've reached it.
Yeah, I was 8.
We were scared because we thought at one point he wasn't going to actually have any nipples. Because it didn't look like he had any when we saw it.
It looked like they were tucked under the sheet.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, what horrors to befall us.
Well, you know, mammals and humans have nipples.
I give his nipples a solid 7.
Okay. Solid 7 for the nipples.
Solid 7. Now, they did look like they were, you know, someone made a wedding ring out of a merkin and put it around his nipple. But it was still better than I was expecting.
Would you rub the circles around them?
What?
If it means I don't have to see the film again, yes. It's a small price to pay.
Standing.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, that girl, that your Ukrainian chick, 6 times. I counted 6 times she kissed him. Or he had to kiss her.
Oh my goodness.
But he's a famous director.
Oh, yeah. She got paid a lot of damn money.
I would hope so. I would hope so. Please, Neil Breen, if you didn't pay this chick, you need to pay her.
Oh, wait, this letter is just in from her. She'd like to thank Harvey Weinstein for her success.
Oh,
too soon?
No, never too soon.
Never too soon.
Oh, dear.
Too soon.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he forced anybody to do it. I think she probably knew exactly what she was getting into.
Maybe there should be
Did you just say she asked for it?
No, I said I don't think she is.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there should be a hashtag #Breen2.
Oh, no. This is going off the rails.
Yeah.
Reel it in.
Oh, dear.
All right.
I'm not sure what else to talk about.
I think we covered it all.
We pretty much covered it all.
I mean, you can't really talk about the plot because there really is none.
Oh, wait. One last thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh.
The cat statues.
I kept
thinking there was some kind of secret code with the way they were moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Way too thought into it.
Yeah, I don't think he thought that way. But no, you know what? He'd probably say he would. You know, like, he'd probably agree with you.
There was a code.
Mathematical equation.
Oh,
sure.
What about the picture where the face sort of appeared, the rainbow face. It, like, moved around and did weird things.
They just thought that would be some cool
That was
effect.
A great and incredible
That's kind of cool.
Well, you know that's why they added it.
Oh, I know. But even Lenore, you thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
they had some
cool... the cats were cooler, though.
Yeah.
I vote that the cats were the best actors in the film.
Did you say you recognized them? That you said that there's some artists?
Yeah, they are. They're done by a famous artist. Yeah, they make all kinds of different animals.
And then they make all kinds of copies of it at Pier 1.
Yeah.
Or something like, you know, or
the Fair Trade Village. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I've never seen
Home Goods. You can find a little knockoff of those.
Nice. I'll have to go and find a few.
I'll be looking for them.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I'll get you guys all a cat statue. So
that's the picture you should
I know Lenore wants that. You know?
Yeah.
You can move it around, Lenore, after a little bit.
Yeah, and send secret coded messages to your evil twin with a beard.
You know?
I don't have an evil twin with a beard.
I have an evil twin with a beard.
Was that who played in your movie? Lenore has a real twin.
It's just she doesn't have a beard.
And she's not evil.
There you go. She's actually a lot of fun.
Yes, she is.
Also the fake rats. So there was the fake rats
I like the fake rats.
I know, those were great.
The best actors in this film were all inanimate
objects.
And speaking of inanimate objects, I love the part where the homeless guy with the rats there, for whatever reason, evil Kale goes up and stabs the
evil
knife.
Kale.
And it's clearly a block of wood in the pants leg. You can see the squareness of it.
Yeah.
And you can hear the hollowness
Where
of it.
Where do you keep your wood?
It's like, why did you put a plank of wood there? Why did you stab him?
The homeless guy doesn't react.
All right.
I don't know.
It's the most bloodless violence I've ever seen. It's just so unreal.
It's so weird. Like, what was
they couldn't afford the blood. They had to pay off the women he was kissing.
If Eraserhead was an actual living object, this movie would be its feces.
What was the point of, like, the homeless guy anyway?
It's a whole movie full of weird metaphor that only makes sense in Brain's head.
Yeah. Brain's head. So Brain knows
Neil,
the universe.
Maybe he was, like, one of his good
you
friends.
You probably have a story. It's probably...
Maybe he gave some bucks.
But you really have no idea how to tell it to the rest of us. It's just not getting to us. There's just a bunch of disjointed images and sounds and strange things. And we're not getting it. Sorry.
Wouldn't that be funny and ironic if the guy who played the homeless person was the person who funded the movie? You know, like
that's
they're
why
like
he's homeless.
Yeah, he, like, you know, I gave you all my money, and then he's like, "Well, here you go. You got to put it as a homeless man."
I gave you all $187 I had to make this giant.
But you know, the beginning slash end ending with the whole part with the earth. That was kind of cool. That was like big budgety sort of stuff that he didn't show before. You know, that sort of big rolling globe thing.
Kind
of yeah, it was all right. It was kind of, you know, gameish, you know, video gameish, but
the whole movie was video gameish, you know.
Not
well,
a good one
no,
either.
Video games make sense.
In like a Pong sort of way.
Right.
Even Pong made more sense than this.
Yeah, Pong did make more sense.
It's more fun too.
Yeah, it was more fun.
I could have played that for 2 hours instead of watched this.
But yeah, as usual, like in all of Neil Breen's films, he's got to play the character who's more powerful than everyone else. He knows more than what's going on than anybody else. He's the one who has to save humanity from the evil that's out there. And he even says several times, I'm defeating the forces of evil. The forces of evil are bad and I beat them. And the forces of evil, you know, because that's what they do. They have a team shirt that says, we're the forces of evil. So ridiculous.
Sounds like a band.
Could you
actually, it is a band.
Him in real life, what he must think.
Exactly. Well, and that's just it. Just like Fateful Findings, and just like every Neil Breen movie that's out there, this is all a vehicle to show how wonderful he is. That's what it is. It's all egocentric.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's in control of everything. That's why he's doing everything. It just explains
Balderdash.
Everything.
Balderdash. Movie was poppycock.
Poppycock and
Balderdash. It's self-indulgence.
Indulgent claptrap.
Self-indulgence at a epic scale.
Do we have a phone number? I want to call him right now.
I was just...
I have an address.
I was disappointed because there was no real TNA in this movie. And TNA Monkey did
there
not
was
get
some A.
Well, there was half an A.
Half an A.
That's true.
And there was...
At least it was good A.
It was good
true.
A.
True.
Yeah.
And there was Neil Breen T, so... Does that not count?
You ran off. You didn't even see
it. I heard you
It was
guys.
A solid
that was
7.
Enough.
Yeah, there were Neil Breen nipples that we saw.
No. Don't ever want to see that again.
That is not a term I want to ever hear again.
Well, and don't forget the wonderful pillow we said that had all of Neil Breen's juices in it.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah, Lenore's like, I missed that part.
We'll explain it to you later, Lenore.
Breen juice.
Oh, my goodness.
Breen juice?
Breen.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to know.
We'll explain it later.
Yeah.
And again, for those who need it, the Neil Breen support group will be.
Right. We will be at the First Unitarian Church of Richmond on Wednesday at 8 p.m. There will be some Entenmann's donuts
and
fresh lots of
Breen's.
Cigarettes and really bad coffee.
Some fresh Breen squeezins.
What?
Breen
squeezins. Stop it, Paul.
Close.
Oh, my God. You're gonna corrupt this poor girl.
What is that?
Oh, my goodness.
This is getting out of hand.
This is.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, this is what Neil Breen does. He brings out the best in all of us. The best. The best of mankind.
Now I'm wondering.
Thank you, Neil Green. Thank you for giving us you.
Transylvania
and bringing out the best in humanity. Without him, where would we be? Where would we be?
I don't know where I am now after this film. This film was like a car accident.
What the hell's going on?
No. I would like to thank Zach Galifianakis for sneaking the drugs into whatever I've been drinking.
And Ron Howard for this Tony. I mean, Ron this Howard? Oscar.
There you go.
I like Ron Howard.
Well, if we were giving out Oscars, I still think the bad mustaches and beards would win. I mean,
that was award worthy. Awesome.
Do they still do Razzies?
Yeah.
I don't
every
know.
Year.
Is every
this
year?
Even good enough for
this
a Razzie?
This is not good enough for a Razzie.
No.
Nowhere
but
close.
See, but I mean, what?
This should be a golden urinal puck.
These people aren't going to see these movies unless they go out and buy them because that's the only way you can get them. Mm-hmm.
And expecting
Neil Green
to buy
is
this
not going to do that.
No, typically it has to be an A list or B list or C list.
Or it has to be wide released.
Yeah, that's in.
He's his own A-list.
Up for a Razzie.
Yeah. And he has said publicly on many times he is not part of the Hollywood elite.
And he's a P-lister.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a Z-lister. But the man tries, and you know what? He's made like 6 movies, full-length movies.
Yep.
Yes, he has.
I don't know how, but he has. And
we'll explain it later.
Yep. Gary just spanked the monkey.
He's made them. You know, what can you say?
As they do post movies about
he has provided entertainment to the masses.
I can't with this film.
Well, I think it's about that time that we wrap this up and say our score.
Oh, and it's the final wrap up of the year.
I know. This is it, guys. This was the last movie of 2019. For Indie Film Cafe. So that's actually
going
pretty
out
cool.
with a bang.
So this is the second season, and it was, CGI of course, Flash. Paul's movie.
Yes.
And it's funny because we started on Paul
yeah.
with one of the worst movies, and we ended with Paul with, I'm probably pretty sure this is the worst movie.
Well, and we,
of the
thing
year.
Is, we usually do like one, and then I do one, and then you do one. But
and then
we switched it up a little bit because this movie was so special. I had to save it for the end.
It was
I know.
Not
it's special, all right.
It's definitely, the word is special.
It should go to a special school.
So
yeah, it did go to a special school.
For those of you who have been following our show for the last couple of years, or even if you're new to us, we're going to explain the Stinkometer. This is a rating system by which we give a score 1 to 10, where 1 is only a little bit of stink, and 10 is a whole lot of Neil Breen level stink. And then 5 is kind of in between, and you can give a sort of a 0.5, a half step score if you want, if you're feeling very subtle about stuff. Kind of like this movie, which is all so subtle and crafty and you know, well thought out. Yeah, and then we're going to total up the score and see which movie's been the stinkiest of the year. And boy, I tell you, this one comes, if not to the top, very close. All right, so who is going to go first with their score?
I mean, I think we all agree on the same score?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can just say it. It's 1? A 10.
Yeah.
It's 10. A 10? Is it's, it a unanimous 10?
Is there yes. anybody who says
stink,
any lower?
Stank. Stunk.
Miss Lenore?
10.
She didn't even have to think about that.
Continuity monkey?
And.
There you go. Wow. So, once again, Neil Breen has topped the scores with a perfect 30.
There is something for him to be proud of.
Wow.
He is the worst filmmaker.
Bow but down to
people.
The king.
Yeah. We're just going to still use only 1.
Wow.
You know, just to make it the 30. But
so, this is the second year in a row he has swept the Stinkies.
Yep. The Stinkies?
The
is that
Stinkies
our
award?
Is that
there
our
you
award?
Go.
His
Stinkies.
Movie is a Stinky.
Wow. Can he do it again for season 3?
The Golden Turd. It's all yours.
Even
my
Lenore
friend.
Does not want another Neil Breen
movie.
I assume
anything this man makes is an automatic straight to a 10.
Wow. Yeah, it could very well be.
He is a talented bastard of filth.
You have seen like the other ones, right?
Oh, I've seen 2 other ones. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Because this is what I does. This is me. This is what I do. This is my kind of thing.
I like to eat, but I wouldn't eat a turd.
Yeah, well.
Well, Paul would.
Watch it, eat it.
There
but,
you go.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, this is definitely, everybody says 10, right? Like,
wow.
This is.
So, somehow, we managed to find a film that was worse than Actium Maximus. Can you believe that? Can you believe it?
It was almost like this close. Like I think I wanted to give it a 10, but I was scared because I didn't know what else.
He was.
I was scared because like it was the first movie of the season right. two. So like how could this be the
Paul
worst?
Taken that as a you challenge.
Know? Oh, he did. Yeah. He did. And then like other movies, Blood Predator, and was it what's that? The Hard Rock Zombies. Those were just terrible movies. Yeah. And then there's this one that just takes the cake of
right.
all
we,
bad
we
movies.
We have several other films this year that got individual 10s, but this is the only one that got unanimous across the board 10s. And in fact, the only other movie that ever did that was the other Neil Breen movie from
yeah.
last year.
So.
Yeah, if I had to describe my week as a film, this would be it.
Oh, dear.
Aww.
I'm so sorry.
I have to say, I feel bad.
It's a joke.
I know, but I feel bad. Yeah.
Neil Breen did a great job with The Last Skywalker. I thought he did great with that.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Breathe that in, Star Wars fans.
Please hire him to do a Star Wars film.
John Favreau should now be,
that would be
constant director
a
of everything
strange
Star Wars.
Star Wars
a
movie.
Neil Breen Star
a
Wars
A Neil Breen
film,
Star
watch.
Wars movie starring Tommy Wiseau.
I would watch that.
And a whole bunch of Turks from the Turkish Star Wars.
And Rod the Puppet from...
Haven't shown these guys Turkish Star Wars yet.
Turkish Star Wars is a worthy endeavor.
Oh, yeah.
He said it was going to be in season two, and then he chose not to.
It got bumped by
Blood Predator?
Blood Predator.
Yeah,
after seeing this, everything you have shown me, Paul, is Oscar worthy.
Yeah.
Oh, I got some stuff to show you, my friend.
Oh, I got some new stuff.
Sounds like a challenge for season three, then.
Season three. He's going to be back with Adventures. I'm going to be in L.A., so you guys have fun.
All right.
And I'm going to probably be doing more...
The coffee's so good in L.A.
A little nicer movies than this.
I see I'm going to have to bring our
actually,
super
though, I've got a couple
movie.
Ones that are going to be pretty... Eh.
I have to bring a super stinky movie to L.A.
So you're jumping out of the porn then, John? Or?
We've got a really cool special guest for that
That's true.
So you might have fun with that.
All right.
Drag porn.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Now, before we leave, I wanted to first of all say, Gary, tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, I have a podcast. I'm quitting it now after this film. It sucked all my inspiration. Mine is Bizarro Aficionado, and it's all over the place.
This sounds like it would be right up your alley.
It's everything bizarre and strange, from the world of local wrestling to having a teen come on explain what in the name of God a yeet is. So it's kind of all over the place, and everything that is bizarre, and got some great shows coming up in the future scheduled. So tune in to Bizarro Aficionado and check it out.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds great.
And Kim, what have you been up to? Didn't you just do a movie, like a pirate movie or something that's out?
Oh, yeah. We just wrapped on Hand's Pirate Trilogy, Chapter 1, directed by Michael Santo. And that should be coming out in 2020. And we'll start on the second chapter. It's about Blackbeard and Israel Hands.
Ooh.
And what really happened behind the scenes.
And Blackbeard's twin with no beard named
Cade. There's a little cameo, no beard. Odd appearance.
There's Blackbeard and no beard.
On the, walking on the other side.
Is this the one that has your evil twin, your Kale?
It has my Kale in it, yeah.
Nice,
my
nice.
Evil twin.
Your spring mix.
That's going to be a thing. We're going to have to talk about our evil twin, and it's going to be named Kale.
I didn't know his name was Cade till the credits.
Yeah, because they never really say his name, do they?
No.
Well, I didn't even know the chick was named Alana. I thought he was talking about Alonzo.
Alonzo, some guy named Alonzo. But yeah, okay, and anything else that you got up to, Kim? Or is that it for stuff you need
to
look?
Just looking forward to what's new in 2020.
Yeah, well, you got Davila. We're
don't
still
forget
doing Davila. That.
Yeah.
So we're getting that done, finished up. We got a bunch more coming out this next year. So look out for that.
Season two.
Yep. Season one still needs to wrap up.
Yeah, but I mean, for 2020.
Yeah, and then we'll bring in season two. And I guess. Because nobody else really has much else to plug, though.
Well, I think, Miss Lenore, you're going to be coming back, right?
Yeah.
So you're still going to be doing stuff at NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the new year starts, probably a day or two after I return, after coming back from L.A., helping Mr. Moody out, you're going to be coming back. And we are going to continue on with Indie Film Cafe, with Forgotten Horror Classics, with Film Freaks, and Criterion Watch, et cetera, et cetera.
Dear God, you have a lot of
content. Got a lot of stuff going on.
Bless you guys.
Gary was actually saying the other day that, like, there was, we got so much. I have, you asked me how much stuff I have going on as far as podcasts. And I said, like, 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And you were just like, I don't know how you do it.
I'd be editing 24 hours a day.
I generally, most of the stuff we don't have to edit very much, you know.
That happened to me once.
Now we have to do that because of the microphone situation.
Right, right.
So we're hopefully going to get that fixed.
We'll get that fixed, but...
So, and Jen, mm-hmm. you've still got your website, right? Jen Cooks That?
Yeah, yeah.
You're still keeping up with that?
It's more sporadic now than it was, but yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, okay. Trying to find some new and interesting recipes. I have two more I need to put up, hopefully before Christmas.
You did those one cookies with the peanuts in them that were just fantastic. They were so good.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, there. If you make some more, we definitely would love them. They were awesome.
No, I have other holiday cookies coming into the office soon. No vintage ones, but...
And you guys didn't see it because we didn't videotape it, but we actually had a lot of snackage here. We were actually here in our PJs and onesies, and Jen made a brain jello for us, mm-hmm. which was really tasty. Was raspberry?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's raspberry.
Very, very good.
And will you be back on season 3? That's what we want to know.
Maybe sporadically, depending on what my schedule is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
That's kind of what I expected. <say that. laughs> But you might help out now and again with some of the better films?
Me, depending on what my schedule is.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I guess that about wraps up season 2 for Indie Film Cafe, guys.
Well, we got one last episode. It's going to be like a wrap-up episode. But right. Aside from that, this is the last episode of all the actual, like, watching the movies and doing that stuff. Thank God we're not going to be rewatching every single one of these movies and talking about
it. It's just the best of.
Yeah, it's sort of like telling people what we thought about these and... You know, all that stuff.
And comparing it to last year.
That's going to be the fun part.
Got some statistics.
Last year, we didn't get to do that. Yeah. So this year, we can talk about, you know, the difference. Like, what got a 30, what got, like, 20, you know, all the way down to what was the lowest score that we've ever had and stuff like that. How we can find some of those more ones that are lower scores that aren't higher scores. Like
I got some of them too, but they're not nearly as much fun.
You guys should do an on the road version.
We forgot about that. We forgot to talk about that. So when we go to LA, we're stopping at different places. And we're going to Kentucky, then we're going to Tulsa, then we're going to Albuquerque, then we're going to Las Vegas.
Don't get out of the car in Albuquerque.
Las Vegas, and then
always pops up
there. Where all the wrong turns are in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go there, and then we're doing like What the Fuck Fridays. We're doing IFC, a couple episodes of IFC. We've got what else?
We're gonna do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, Frights the Round Table, everything Hollywood Boulevard. He's gonna be on that there for the first time. It's been 4 seasons that we've done Hollywood Boulevard podcast, and it's finally he's there.
I am today years old knowing that even existed.
Oh, well, there you go.
I didn't even know about that one. You have so many, I don't even know about you.
You got to go to sickflickproductions.com, and I'll list you all the podcasts
and
there.
We'll most likely be making videos, too, so you get to check us out on YouTube.
Yeah, I think we're going to do a Criterion Watch and a Film Freaks as well out there.
And
so
for all the listeners out there, in addition to all these other places and that you can see or hear our thing on Podbean and on Stitcher and all the other Radio Public, we're also on YouTube, and we do have a Patreon. You know, Continuity Monkey needs a new pair of shoes. So feel free to float us a buck if you can or two. We'd really appreciate it.
And I just found out recently that we're on iHeartRadio, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. I did not know that we were on there until I was just Googling Indie
Film
Cafe.
And it's on Roku.
Is it?
Yeah. iHeartRadio is on Roku.
There you go. So There you go. We're all over the place. Really? So
yeah, like a virus, like a rash.
Tune in on
iHeartRadio.
Yeah, tune in on iHeartRadio, everybody, and tune in on different everything on your different platforms, because
follow us on Facebook.
Follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't think we're on LinkedIn. I don't think you can be.
And subscribe or follow. Leave a comment. Please. All that stuff helps.
Likes.
Yes.
Likes. Share.
It's all about the likes.
Yes, definitely. Rate us, give us a review on iTunes and stuff like that. Like, we would love that.
Send us suggestions on $20 bills. We really like that.
Yes, those are nice.
Tell us what you'd like to hear.
Yes.
Exactly.
Is there a stinky movie that you suggest?
There you go.
That's definitely one of the Patreon perks, is if you want to suggest something to us, pay us a dollar.
Right.
Only a dollar a month. You can suggest whatever you want. And if we don't do it for the actual podcast, we'll do it for either a Patreon-only podcast, or we'll do it as part of
And we've been putting out Patreon-only stuff out there. So if you guys want to get some extra stuff, that's what you do.
Yep. So we're just looking for some more donations. So if people donate another dollar, we'll get it. So
there you go.
Even if you've just taken questionable film of yourself, make sure you send that to John and Paul. They would love to see that.
There you go. Hey, man, I got to buy another Neil Breen movie somehow. So.
Oh, Lord.
Mm. Got to come up with that cashola.
Don't encourage us, people.
It may be the new tradition to end the year on a Neil Breen Christmas.
Oh, my God, yes. Happy holidays to all of us.
There you go. All right, guys, I think on that note, it's time to wrap up.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Next year.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
This one, Twisted Pear, I wrote to be very different than my prior four films. Content-wise, location-wise, effects-wise, and so on. It's much bigger, better, and as I think all my films are, they get bigger and better.